Good afternoon, and a very, very warm welcome to this afternoon's service of worship. It's lovely to have you here today with us. It's a good place to be. It is good to come and worship the Lord as His family on His day for His glory. So in Jesus' name, I wish you the warmest of warm welcomes. Finlay will be leading us in worship today. Thank you, Finlay, for your ministry to us. We look forward to seeing what the Lord has laid on your heart for us today. This evening, there's no Glenelg 6 p.m. service because we're all invited down to Killachan Hall for the Back to School with God service at 6 p.m. there. So please do come along and join us there at Killachan for that service where we'll be praying for the young folk from our area. Just a couple of intimations before I hand over to Finlay. The Reverend James Blackwell will lead us in worship for the 12 noon service next Sunday in Inverinet. And on Wednesday, the 4th of September, Adrian Armstrong, the head of the Bible Engagement to the Scottish Bible Society, will provide an update of the work of the Bible Society around the world and here in Scotland. And that's in Kylefree Church at 7:30 p.m. and all are warmly invited. That does clash with our Wednesday Bible study, so we'll have a wee discussion amongst ourselves, Finlay, if you do the Dorney one, and we'll sort that one out and see if we want to postpone our Bible study for the week and go down to Kyle or what we'll do. But we'll sort that one out. Just want to draw your attention to the thank you notice from Roddy. Please do read through that at your own time, and the prayer notes as well. And without further ado, I will hand over to Finlay. Thank you, Finlay.
You're very welcome. It's great to be with you this morning. We're here to worship God. I think a large part of what we're supposed to do as a church family is to encourage one another in worship of God. We can worship God with our whole lives, throughout our whole time. This is a special time of the week that we come together to worship God. So as we sing to Him, as we hear from His word, encourage those around you. I don't mean elbowing, maybe that is a form of encouragement, but be encouraged that we're together. We're here of the same heart, the same hope, to worship our Father together. We're going to start by doing that from Psalm 46 in the Sing Psalms. So that's in the front half of the blue books on page 59, Sing Psalms 46, a psalm that talks of God being our refuge in times of trouble, when storms are going on, when mountains are falling into the sea, yet our hope and our refuge is in God. The Lord Almighty is with us, verse 7, to strengthen and to sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain. So I'll sing from verses 1 down to 7 of Psalm 46. Stand to sing.
God is our refuge and our strength, our ever present aid, and therefore though the earth gives way, we will not be afraid. The mountains fall.
a very warm welcome to our party from Teen Ranch Scotland. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. Aaron's come home with a whole bunch of guys from the ranch. Lovely to have you with us. If folks can maybe share books and make sure all these guys have a psalm book, that would be fantastic. Let's come before our Father in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thankful. Thankful, Lord, that we can be here in this place together as your people. We are not a bunch of random people put together in a hole, Lord. We are the family of God. We are your children, the ones who you have called from darkness into light, Lord. We praise you this morning, Lord, that your love was so great that when we were far off from you, when we were lost, you weren't content to just leave us there, Lord, but that you made a way. You gave us your word that you were coming, that you were going to make a way for us to come back to you. And that way was realized in your Son, Jesus Christ, giving up his life for us, paying the debt that we could never pay, Lord, giving up what we didn't have to give, making a way for us to come back to you, our Father. We praise you, Lord, for the hope that we have, the hope that we share. I ask that you would help us to realize anew the depths of your love for us, the depths of what you've done for us, particularly this morning, Lord, as we read your word, as we study together, as we worship you together. Would you help us to grasp a little bit more of who you are and what you have done for us? I ask for those of us who don't know you, Lord, that you would reach out in your mercy, in your grace, Lord, that you would show your face to us, that you would bring life, that you would bring hope, that you would bring peace, Lord. And we look forward to that day, Lord, when you will either call us home or when you will come again to bring us home. And that day will come and you'll wipe away all sorrow. Right now, Lord, this world is broken. It's not what it should be. It's not what it could be. We can barely go through a day without hearing heartbreaking things in the news and even what's going on in our own community, Lord. This world is not what it should be. I ask that you would bless us and equip us to be able to be your light and your hope and your peace here on earth. That in the way that we live, in the way that we love those around us, that we would be a blessing to this community, a witness to your love, of your love to this community. We rejoice that you have not decided to leave this world as it is, but that you have a plan. And we have hope in you that you will do exactly as you said you will do, and that you will make all things new. We ask for your blessing at the moment on the Lamonts as they've lost an uncle. Lord, would you bless them and be with them, and all the preparations and things that need to be done now, Lord. But we rejoice of his hope in you and the hope that we have in you. We ask your blessing on James and Claire as they begin their part of their ministry here with us. We thank you so much for bringing them and their lovely family to us, and we ask that you would bless them. You are not a God of limited resources that has to put a little bit here and a little bit there, Lord. You are a God of infinite resources. We ask that you would bless James and Claire and their family so abundantly, so lavishly, Lord, that that blessing would overflow onto all of us and into this place and this community, Lord. Would you be with them? We ask your blessing on Andy and Lynn at the moment, Lord, as Lynn's recovering. Would you be with them? Would you draw close to them and bless them and give them somewhere to live permanently, Lord? We ask your blessing on us this morning. We ask that you would forgive us for the things that we've done this week that go against your way. We know better, Lord. But yet we still are unfaithful to you. Forgive us, we pray. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Bless us, we pray. This morning, as we read your word, would you be here, speaking to us, blessing us? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to carry on our worship of God by singing from Psalm 144. That is in the Sing Psalms. Yes, Sing Psalms, Psalm 144. So in the first half of the book on page 188. This is the psalm that we were studying at men's breakfast yesterday morning. All praise be given to the Lord because he is a rock to me. I found it very curious that those first two verses, giving praise to God because he's a rock. You might think that the next verse is going to go on to say because he gives me peace or he gives me hope. But the next verse says, he trains my hands to fight in war, to battle with the enemy. And God is our peace and God does give us hope, but he also equips and trains us for battle. In this world, we're called to war against evil, to war against the sin and evil in our own lives and in this place. And God is the one who gives us strength to do that. So we're going to sing from verses 1 to 4 of this psalm and then finish with verse 15. On page 188, Psalm 144, 1 to 4, and then finish with verse 15. I'll stand to sing. This morning in Psalm 119. So if you have a Bible with you, turn with me to Psalm 119. We're reading from verse 49, not the whole thing. That's on page 619 if you have one of these Bibles. If you do not, I do not know what page number it's on. So Psalm 119 from verse 49. This is the word of God. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song, wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Psalm 119 is all about a love of God's law and his word. And we're going to be looking at clinging to the promises of God today, particularly those first two verses. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. A word for the young people. Boys and girls, do you want to come and join me down the front here? Don't rush at once. Good job, Ross. Andrew and Alice, we can just say this is their classic from their voice. I have something out of the dark ages here. Our church actually still uses them, but that's because it's very hard to change these things. Anyone tell me, can anyone tell me what this is? Not a banknote.
It's the 40 pounds.
Joseph?
The £40.
It is something for the value of £40, but can you tell me what this piece of paper actually is? Alistair?
A check.
A check. Has anyone ever seen a check before? It's bizarre, isn't it? So what happens is your bank gives you this book, and you write down... See who, what's that say? Finlay MacDonald. And then, can you tell me what number that is? Anyone see? 40, good job. So, this is a bank, a check telling the bank to pay Finlay MacDonald £40. And you have to write it again in words. You see that says £40 there. So then what happens? This is a promise from the church that they're going to pay. I only get checks from the church. I was trying to find another check in my life. So this is a promise from the church that they, when I present this check and I go to the bank, what's the bank going to do for me?
Give
me £40. This isn't actually £40. I can't go and spend this somewhere. But this is a promise of £40. That when I take this to the bank, I will get £40 from the church's bank account. And there's a very old man, he's not alive anymore, a guy called Charles Spurgeon. Anyone ever heard of Charles Spurgeon before? A very famous preacher. Good. I'm glad some people have heard of Charles Spurgeon. A very famous preacher. And he said that the Bible is full of promises from God. And he said, the promises of God are like a check. They're like a check. And what we're to do with the promises of God is to take them like a check and to give them back to God. It's a promise of something. And we're to take them to God. And what happens when you take a check to the bank?
You get
£40, or you get whatever the check is for. So we are to read our Bibles and look for what God has promised to us. Our Bibles are what God's word to us, God's promises to us. We're to look through our Bibles to find out what has God promised us, what has God given us, and to take them. And what happens if I just leave this check in the wall, if I don't take it to the bank? I lose it. I don't get the £40. So I'm to take the promises of God and give them back to God, and to say, God, you have promised me this. Please provide, please give it to me. What can anyone still remember the God promises that whoever comes to him and asks that Jesus would come into their life, that they become a new person. That's like a check given to you. If you want to go to God and take that and say, God, you've promised me that if I want to become a new creation, if I want to have my home in you, that you will give that to me. And God always keeps his promises. There's something that happens. If I take this check to the bank and the church doesn't actually have £40, the check bounces, the money doesn't actually come into my account. But God's promises always are cashed. God's promises always come true. They might not come true straight away, but when the time is right, God will fulfill every promise that he's given to us. Does that make sense? There's a lesson for you, a check. I don't think you'll see many of them, but let's say a prayer just now before we go away to Sunday school. Lord, I thank you that you are good and that you always keep that is what our hope is in. I ask for these boys and girls here, Lord, that they would be able to cling to your promises, that they would be able to take them like a check and give them to you, and that you would fulfill your word, that you would keep your promises. We know you will, Lord. Help us to find your promises and to take them to you and be blessed through it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Fantastic. You boys and girls want to head out to Sunday school and the youth group. Want to head out, jam. You've got to jam yourselves into that wee cupboard. If we're going to sing the psalm that we're studying. That's the wonderful thing about preaching from a psalm, is we can sing the words. So we're going to sing from the Psalter. So that's in the back half of the book, from Psalm 119, from verse 49, which is on page 404. Remember, Lord, thy gracious word, thou to thy servant spake. That's another word for spoke. Which for a ground of my sure hope thou causest me to take. Let's sing from Psalm 119 from verse 49 to 56 together. Stand to sing.
Thou causest me.
do have that Psalm 119 open in front of you as we work through that. Like I said, Psalm 119 is a psalm that just waxes lyrical about God's word. I think every single verse of Psalm 119 mentions either word or law or promise, or all referring to God's law and how it's given us hope, how it's what we love. We love the words of God. There was a Canadian teacher, apparently, called Everett R. Storms, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, who was alive in 1956, and after having read the Bible 26 times, cover to cover, in his life, he decided to read it for a 27th time, but this time count every single promise of God. And there he counted 7,487 promises from God to man. He counted 8,810 promises total, but lots of those were men promising to other men or men promising to God. But there's 7,487 promises in the Bible from God to man. And of those, some of them are specifically for one man at one point, or one person at one point, but lots and lots of these promises are still standing for you and for me. God's word to us, commitments and promises for us to lay hold of. And like I was saying with the young people, Charles Spurgeon wrote a daily devotional book, actually, called The Checkbook of Faith. Comparing promises of God to a check. It's maybe slightly harder for us to understand now that I realized for the young people I had to actually explain what a check is before we could then explain what the illustrative point of a check is. But a check is a written promise to give the recipient the stated amount of money when they present it at the bank. And Spurgeon likens that to the promises of God. The promises of God are to be cashed. He calls it the bank of faith, or the bank of heaven. He says a promise is given to a believer with the view of delivering you and me some good thing. And we're not meant to then just take this check and take this promise and read it at our leisure and then forget about it. We are to treat the promises of God as a reality, waiting to be claimed. As someone treats a check, you have to be very careful with your checks, because if you lose them, that's the money lost, unless you can persuade the person who wrote the check to write it again. We are to treat the promises of God in that way, to not just read them at our leisure and forget about them, to read them and then claim them, take them to God. This is what you have promised to me, and ask them to be cashed. We take these promises, present them to God in faith, pleading for them in prayer, expecting them to be fulfilled. And Spurgeon says, if we've come to the bank, if we've come to heaven's bank on the right day, we will receive that promised amount right away. But if the date happens to be in the future, we must patiently wait, still confident in the bank's ability to pay out when the time is right. Not one of God's promises will be empty. Not one of God's promises, those checks, will bounce. Every single promise of God will be cashed, will be fulfilled. We treat the check, the promise that we've been given in the meantime, as the sure thing that it is. We treat it like the true cash that it represents. We wait in faith, and we echo the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119, saying, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. You could equally say, remember your promises to me. Remember your promises to me, Lord, because you have given me hope. Remember your word to your servant. Remember is a very common word in my life. Lots of people very helpfully tell me to remember things very often. several of them sitting in the congregation. Remember your laptop. Remember your dog sitting in the car waiting to be walked. Remember your preaching on Sunday. Remember is a very common word in my life. But that's because I have gracious people in my life who know how forgetful I am. And I am incredibly forgetful. And I need to be reminded of things. God, however, is not forgetful. He knows every promise that he's made. So when the psalmist says, remember here, he's not saying it because God's forgotten. God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and remembers every moment through all time. He remembers every word that anyone ever living has ever said or will say. He remembers every thought that's gone through anyone's head. He does not forget. But the psalmist here is pleading for God to fulfill his promises to us. He's using the language of men to speak to God. Remember your promises to me, to do what you have said you will do. And that's what God wants of us. He wants us to take these promises that he's given to us and claim them, to ask them for him. God wants us to take his promises to him like a check and ask them to be fulfilled. Ask God to remember your promise to me, for they have given me hope, that for you have given me hope. The promises of God, what God has promised to us, is our only hope in this life. Our hope rests on what God has promised for us. The words and commitments he has given to us, that's where our hope rests. Our security isn't in the treasures of this life. Our hope shouldn't be in our pension, in our relationships. Our hope shouldn't be in this new government, not because I'm commenting politically at all, but that's just not where our hope should be. Our hope shouldn't be in anything in this world, any assets, any savings, any property. My hope is in the promises of God. That is the only thing that's reliable. That is the only thing that I know will not change. No matter what happens to me, the promises of God will stand. My hope is there. I am who he says I am, where he says I've come from, and with my hope in him, he says where I'm going. My security, my hope, my confidence is in God. I want to reassure you that this morning I'm preaching as much to myself as to anyone else, promising, teaching myself my hope, my security, everything I have, not in anything in this world, not in a house, not in savings. My hope, my security is in God's word and what he has said. And verse 50 of the psalm says, my comfort in my suffering. And suffering is also promised to us from God in this life. If we follow him, we follow him into suffering. But my comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. No matter what we face, what we have waiting for us in this life, our hope should be in God and in his word. Hudson Taylor, I'm slowly working my way around the meeting room in the Teen Ranch. Teen Ranch's meeting rooms walls are covered in lots of different Christians that have lived over the years with a wee testimony about their life. Hudson Taylor is one of them, Charles Spurgeon's another, lots of them. It's a lovely room to spend some time in. But Hudson Taylor was the founder of China Inland Mission, which later became OMF, one of the biggest Christian charities out there, I think, focused on reaching unreached people, taking the word of God out to people. But he faced real limitations and low resources in his time running China Inland Mission. And at one point, the bank balance for China Inland Mission apparently was 25 cents. They had 25 cents left in the bank. but Hudson Taylor phrased it as 25 cents and all the promises of God. The bank balance showed 25 cents, but his hope and his security wasn't in the resources that his bank showed. He had that 25 cents, but he also had all the promises of God. When we have even the most limited of worldly possessions, it can never be said of a Christian, it can never be said of you or me, people who follow Christ, that we are poor. When we remember, we lay claim to all the promises of God. I think Hudson Taylor also said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's blessing. The promises are ours. The check is ours. They are ready to be cashed. We inherit. The Bible teaches us that when we become a Christian, we become adopted son of God and co-inheritors with Christ. That what Christ has, we will have. All the promises of God. So we go to God and we say to him, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. Remember the promises of God. These are where our security, where our hope, where our confidence in this life lies. No matter what we face, and we will face suffering. We will face times of low resources, I'm sure, but our hope and our confidence is in the promises of God. I thought we would finish up this morning by just going through a few of the promises that God has given us in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, this is God addressing Satan just after humanity's fallen, just after sin has come into the world. God says, addressing Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And then he changes to, he shall bruise your head. He shall bruise Satan's head. And you, Satan, shall bruise his heel. This is the first promise given to people, given to humanity after they've fallen. Immediately after that, after we've sinned against God. Promise number one, God says, I will have the victory over evil. He shall bruise your head, he shall bruise Satan's head, and you, Satan, shall bruise his heel. And we, of course, it's a bit vague and hard to understand in those words, but we see the revelation of that in Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus went to the cross. His heel was bruised, but he defeated death. He crushed the serpent. He crushed death. What is the promise that we cling to? That God has the victory. Right from the beginning, he planned it, that he would be victorious over Satan, that we didn't have to fear evil, that he would have the victory. And this is also true for you and me. We are afflicted by all sorts of evil and temptations and sickness. We may have bruised heels in this life. We will have bruised heels in this life. But in Christ, evil is defeated. And we, if we are in him, will reign with Christ. He has crushed the serpent's head. And one day, God will make all things new. The second promise from... I ended up just going all throughout the Bible, and it's quite hard to choose a few promises to focus in on one morning. But hear this promise from Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If we believe and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That is a promise that you can take to the bank. If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, God raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And we must confess that. We must say, Jesus is Lord. Tell that to yourself each morning. Jesus is Lord over me. He is King over my life. He is the one that I serve. Jesus is Lord. And if we believe he is risen from the dead, if we believe that he has defeated evil, we have nothing to fear, then we will be saved. Not may be saved, will be saved. You will be saved. We do not doubt our Savior and his salvation. We claim this promise. God, you have said, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, that I will be saved. Glory be to God that a sinner like me can be saved. We didn't deserve it. As if I know my own heart, I'm sure you know your own heart. We don't deserve the grace and the goodness that we have been shown. But if we believe in Jesus, we confess him as Lord, we will be saved. A similar promise from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel 2:32 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The door is open wide. If you think that can't be you, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 6, verse 37, Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. There's no standard that we have to meet, no qualifications that we have to get in. Come as you are. He will not cast out anyone who comes to him. If you come to him, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Come as you are. Don't delay. And claim the promises of God. From Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." God is with us. That's one of the most amazing promises the Bible has for us. God is with us. He is our dwelling place wherever we go. Wherever we go in this world, we can't run from him. He is there with us. Wherever we go in this world, we can't run from him. He is with us, and he has us secure in his hand. Evil might come, but remember, God has the victory. He is victorious, and our hope and our confidence is in him. And then lastly, I'll finish with this promise from Isaiah 51. I was reminded as Ken and I were painting Kyle Hall together, and Mum was joining in with singing this as well. Isaiah 51, verse 11. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return." So you and me, if we are saved, we shall return. "And come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads." Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. "They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning, they will flee away." The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Sorrow and mourning will be done away with, and joy and gladness will be upon our heads. Whatever happens to us in this world, it's temporary. And the promises of God are everlasting, that we have a home waiting for us. We have a confidence in this, in that joy and gladness will be upon our heads, and we will live with God, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. He will bring us Break us free from sadness and mourning, and give us joy and gladness. Lord, encourage you to be devouring your Bibles, to be looking for the promises. What promises has God given to us? There's over 7,000 to choose from. And take these promises. Don't just read about them and forget them. Read them. Take them to God and say, this is what you have promised to me. Jesus gives us that story of the persistent widow who goes and requests again and again and again. And because the master doesn't really think anything of the widow, but just because she has asked so many times, finally he gives her her request. We aren't a widow coming before a big master. We are the children of God coming before our Heavenly Father. Will he not give us these promises? We might not come at the right time, but we're to keep coming. And every single promise of God will be fulfilled. So devour your Bibles. Look for what promises God has given to you and take them to God. Claim them, cash them like a check, and he will bless us. These are for us to be claimed. And God bless these thoughts from his word. We're going to finish by singing the hymn on the back of your bulletin. Try and share some bulletins around. This is one of my favorite hymns. Talks about nothing we have, nothing that we've done being from us. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. And then each chorus begins, to this I hold, to this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. We'll stand and sing these words together.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me through the deep. Price it has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. All the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will lead me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.